You're listening to Trek FM.
Hi, this is Robert Duncan McNeil, also known as Tom Paris from Star Trek Voyager. You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
Hello, everybody at home, and welcome. This is To The Journey.
To the journey!
I'm your co-host, Tristan Riddell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt.
Charlene, Okay, so you and I, we've been going up and down with our scheduling on To The Journey. Things have been crazy. Life has been happening. And so with our scheduling, we've been recording it all over the place. We've been releasing it all over the place.
We really have.
And with our crazy scheduling has also been kind of crazy topics where, you know, like we used to have it laid out. Man, when we were kids, it used to be so scheduled and organized where you and I would go, okay, this week we'll talk about this. Second week we'll talk about that. Third week we'll end with this and everything of that nature. Now you and I are like, oh man, okay, crap. I got an hour today where I am free. What do you want to talk about?
This seriously happened, and we just came up with this idea, mm-hmm. like, not that long ago at all. So this is the very, this is our improvised nature sort of just leaking into every aspect of To The Journey, if you ask me.
It really is, and as a correction, this is, we just stole the idea a couple hours ago.
That's true. I'm glad you mentioned that. Yes, this is not an original idea, but why don't you tell everybody what it is we decided to do for today?
Okay, one of the coolest episodes of Earl Grey with Philip Gilfus, Darren Moser, and Daniel Prue was they wondered what The Next Generation would look like if it was an animated show.
Yes.
And so you and I both thought, hey, wouldn't that be hysterical if we did that with Voyager? And so that's what we're doing today.
That is what we're going to do. And with one very noticeable absence, Aaron Harvey is not joining us because we did just come up with this whole thing. And I don't know, it's not very kind to invite somebody and say, hey, can you just jump on the microphone right now and talk about something that you have no preparation for? Sorry, Aaron. I'm sure you could add a lot to this, being a very animated guy. And if you have not checked out his podcast, Saturday Morning Trek, it's all about the animated Star Trek series. Take a look at that. This dude knows his stuff. I'm sorry you're not going to be here, Aaron, but I hope you enjoy listening to us nevertheless.
Yes, this was a last-minute decision. And so let's just jump right into it. Okay,
let's do this.
Now, you and I are big animation fans.
Yeah, we like a lot of animated shows like Bob's Burgers. I know you like American Dad.
Mm-hmm. I'm South Park.
Of course, yeah, South Park. I'm a big Beavis and Butthead fan. There's plenty others that I watch on a very regular basis like Metalocalypse. I'm kind of all over the place as far as animation goes. I don't know. There's something about a good cartoon, is there not?
I don't know what it is. I think, you know, some people call it, I don't know how they phrase it, but they like when they see a person watching cartoons, even adult cartoons like Bob's Burgers or South Park or you know, like The Simpsons or American Dad or things like that, they think it's childish. You know, they see it as, oh, like adults desperately trying to hold on to their youth and their Saturday morning-ness. And It's just, it's so weird because when the first some of the first cartoons that came out, it was animation was geared towards adults. It wasn't until the Saturday morning revolution where it started gearing towards children. And I remember that there was this huge controversy, like when The Simpsons came out and then the South Park followed and like up the game, everyone was just like, but what if the children, Charlene? What if the children?
That's right.
What if they get confused? Yeah. What if they get confused and watch it and then they're scarred for life? Anyway, I don't know what the point of what I'm talking about is, but it's we like it because it's funny. You can tell stories in a way that you couldn't tell in a normal sitcom atmosphere.
Yes, absolutely. And I think it should become more widely accepted that, hey, animation is for everybody. You don't have to be a little kid. You don't have to be old. It's for all ages. depending on the show, of course, but like, yeah, I mean, there doesn't have to be, I guess, like, because you're a grown-up, a so-called grown-up, that you can't enjoy animation and something that is not exactly real, no. So what? It's a form of entertainment, nevertheless. I don't really understand what the big deal is, but I think you nailed it when you mentioned the whole Saturday morning thing. We were certainly of the generation that grew up with Saturday morning cartoons, and the generation before us and since has too. Now, that's sort of gone by the wayside. I don't know if they still do Saturday morning cartoons anymore, but things like Nickelodeon and whatnot, they've definitely picked up the slack as far as animation and shows geared toward younger people. That said, as enjoyable as those things are, well, as we grow up, why not have some animated entertainment? Animation can be smart. It can do things, like you said, that you can't otherwise do. It's incredibly imaginative, too.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that you can get dramatic with it as well. You can get crazy with it. You can get intense with it. It doesn't have to be all slapsticky like American Dad or South Park or anything like that. Like one of my favorite animations is an adaptation of Dante's Inferno.
Oh, and really?
It's animated, and like each level of hell was directed by a different animation director.
Oh, and so, cool.
I know, right? And so you get different styles for every level of hell. And so even Dante looks different, Beatrice looks different, and it's just Virgil looks different. And so it's just really, really cool. And it gets really intense. There's nudity, there's violence, there's religious themes, obviously. And it's just like this is one type of story that can easily, not easily, but you know, like it's easier to tell with animation than it is with live action. And so you want to gear towards the animation, but it's not something for children. And so I'm not going to show like some 5-year-old who's used to Saturday morning cartoons, Dante's Inferno, the animated edition. But at the same time, I'm not going to feel like a child because I'm watching something drawn instead of acted.
Right. Okay. That's a perfect example. No, of course you're not going to show that to a child because for one thing, a lot of it's going to be lost on them. It's probably going to scare the bejesus out of them. and then also just the sheer art form of animation, showing different styles in each different level, that's got to be fascinating. I kind of want to check this out.
I think it's on Netflix. Last time I checked, it's on Netflix. Check it out. It's really worth it.
Okay.
It's really cool. And the voice acting is absolutely amazing. I think Mark Hamill makes an appearance. So.
Oh, wow.
Anyway, so that's our love of animation. And so we can go. The reason why we talked about so many different types of animation is because now starts the conversation of what type of animation is Voyager going to be like? Because, you know, when people think Star Trek animation, they think Star Trek, the animated series.
Absolutely. Now, I think they did get a couple of things right with Star Trek, the animated series. One is more alien characters, because you're not having to do a whole bunch of prosthetics and makeup. You can simply draw them like you would any other character. It's not necessarily that much more work. But then also imaginative storytelling. They're doing some things with that show that you couldn't really do on the live action series, which is where I feel our Voyager series also needs to go. Let's take advantage of those things.
Yeah, the first thing that popped into my head was like exactly what you said. Like you could do crazier stories, you could do more alien characters. And so I'm thinking Species 8472. You know, like let's see a Species 8472 storyline. Let's travel to fluidic space again. Let's not just see fluidic space, but let's see a planet within fluidic space and what that is like and how that civilization exists.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Okay. You could do a whole story arc just based on this whole thing where we're immersing ourselves in the culture that is Species 8472, really getting to know what makes them tick. Where do they live exactly? How do they live? You could explore so much right there that would be completely advantageous just because of animation.
Absolutely. And that's the thing, is that you can explore so many new and cool things, but let's establish the tone here. So what's the delivery? Okay. So what's the delivery? What's the demographics? Are we going towards children, like Saturday morning? Are we going towards children as well as adults, kind of like Clone Wars and Star Wars Rebels? Or are we going just towards adults, where it's like maybe it's in a web series where it doesn't really need that Saturday morning feel, or it doesn't need a distribution deal on broadcast so you don't have to pigeonhole it. It can just be whatever it is. What do you think?
Okay. When we came up with this topic, this was the first question that came up, and I thought of two possibilities. One was, because Star Trek tries to be inclusive to everyone, it is a show for everybody, where there are certain references that adults are going to get. There's going to be plenty, though, for children to get as well. Sort of like Shrek and animated works of that nature, where there is something for everybody, and then you can go back and revisit it when you're a child. Or, you know, when you're a child, you watch it, and then you're as an adult, you go back and watch it again. You get a lot more out of it that you didn't even realize was there simply because you've grown up and you're a little older. And then meanwhile, your mom and dad, yeah, they were laughing at that all along, and you wondered why. So there, I think that's one avenue we could do. And that might be the more appropriate one just because it is Star Trek. But then also I thought, what if they really did gear an animated series toward children? Because we have Naomi Wildman, it could be all about her.
I am not in love with that idea.
I didn't think you would be, but I had to bring it up just because there are certain things that you could do there, because she could be the heroine. She is a child. Kids are going to relate to her. And if we want to specifically make a demographic toward kids and get them into Star Trek, that would be a way to do it.
Yeah, you could tell it, like, you could tell Star Trek Voyager through Naomi's perspective. Like,
yes.
that could be the hook of the show.
Right, and it's not going to be all holodeck adventures and flotter dolls. It's going to be a lot more interesting than that, obviously. But from her perspective, it would be kind of a fun glimpse into what she thinks about this whole thing.
Now, whatever form this takes, whatever story we go for, are you picturing traditional 2D animation, or are you picturing 3D animation like Pixar and everything like that?
I'm picturing 2D. How about you?
I think 2D would be a lot of fun, and I miss the days when 2D was so prevalent and all over the place. But at the same time, for some reason, I keep picturing a 3D Tom Paris in my head. I don't know why. Like, he's just...
Wait. So Tom is the only one that's in 3D, and like everybody else is 2D? Is that what you're saying?
That would make a very interesting show.
But you know what that makes me think of is the episode we wrote with Earl Grey right toward the end of their run with the adventures of Captain Proton, and things would switch between black and white and color depending on whether we're seeing it through his perspective or not. Kind of like that.
Just for some reason, like when I close my eyes and think about it, I'm picturing Tom Paris. I'm picturing Robert Duncan McNeil, because I think it's mainly because I think a 3D... CGI Robbie Duncan McNeil looks a lot like Anakin. And so when I think about that, I think about Clone Wars and Rebels and everything like that. So I'm picturing it in that style. And I think a Star Trek show would do really well in that style. I don't know. Like, I'm thinking in reality, like, just like, say we live in a reality where this could happen, if it was feasible, I think it would most likely be a 2D web series. Is what I'm thinking.
Really? So you're going off in a completely different direction than I was thinking. Now, why a web series? What do you think is the advantage of that for Star Trek?
You can keep it smaller. You can keep expectations low. It's enough to feed the fandom, but it's not extremely cost prohibitive to the point where you would need a distribution deal. And I feel like it would be just enough to kind of... It wouldn't be a mainstay. Okay, it wouldn't be on the same level of Star Trek Discovery, you know, but it would be just enough to give the fandom new stories, but at the same time make it separate so it wouldn't have to deal with any kind of continuity or canon or anything like that, where you just make it simple yet engaging stories of untold stories in the Delta Quadrant. It's so that way you could keep it separate from the Alpha Quadrant, you could keep it from Deep Space Nine and TNG, and so you just don't contradict anything that happened in the show. But you can just imagine that these things happened in between the episodes.
Okay, so you're thinking of it like as a supplemental then?
Yes, yes, it's a supplemental show. But the thing is, it's just in this world, Star Trek is not as profitable as Star Wars. And so I do not think you could sell a 30-minute show to a network when it took us so long to get Star Trek back on the air. And so that's why I'm thinking, like, let's crawl before you walk. And so if we're going to go into the realm of animation, if we're going to go into a shorter format, you know, let's do something, like, let's take advantage of the internet. Let's do something licensed by CBS. And, mm-hmm. you know, like, let's get some fantastic voice actors. And we just make it simple stories. Maybe they're 20 minutes, you know, like, maybe they're 15 minutes. But just, it's Delta Quadrant supplemental, you know, something like that.
Yeah. In all reality, I think you're right. If a project like this were to actually take off and be made, it would happen just like this, because the stories could be only as long as they need to be. It would have to be very low budget, because it's going to have a smaller audience. Mm-hmm. And it's probably going to be, yeah, distributed through the internet on the usual suspects, I imagine. Although with Star Trek being the big property that it is, I'm sure that's still very complicated to mm-hmm. make it happen. But let's just say what if and go with it and say that it's going to happen. Now, you mentioned voice actors. Do you think that you're not going to get the original crew to talk?
That I have no idea. I mean, like, if we're talking like reality versus, you know, like our wish list, of course, you know, we would just want to imagine what this web series would look like with the voices we all know and love. And I feel like we would definitely get Tim Russ.
I don't know, Tristan. I'm cutting you off because I don't think it might be as hard as we might think it is. Just because you can do voice acting from just about anywhere. There's a recording studio, and a lot of these actors, they're still in LA or they're in New York. There's access. It's a very short-term commitment. They go in, they deliver the lines. They don't have to go through the whole rigmarole of being on the set and spending hours upon hours waiting for lighting changes and stuff like that. No, they just go in, they do their work, and they're done.
Yes, but the thing is, like, we've seen them revitalize their roles before with Star Trek Online Delta Rising. And we got Ethan Phillips, Jeri Ryan, Tim Russ, and who else? Did we get Robert
Garrett
Picardo?
Wong.
We got Garrett Wong. Did we get Robert Picardo? I can't remember.
Oh, I want to say yes, but I don't know that for sure.
I feel like we could get those five. I do not think we could get Mulgrew. I don't think Beltran has any interest in revisiting Star Trek. I think it would be hard to get Jeri Ryan on the regular, but I think she could do. I think she would do guest appearances. And I don't think Roxanne Dawson has any interest whatsoever in coming back. And I think Robbie McNeil is just too busy.
Yeah, I think actually Mulgrew, McNeil, and Dawson would be the hardest to get, just because they are the hardest working, maybe, of the bunch. I mean, I know Jeri Ryan is still very active, but she makes time for projects like this. So we probably could snatch her at the 11th hour and get just enough material to work with, and she'd be fantastic.
Yeah,
but you might be right. If it were an officially licensed thing, I mean, I know Star Trek Online is, I mean, it's a big deal. It is. But maybe with it being a show, would that be the clincher? Maybe, just maybe. Because honestly, I can't imagine anybody else voicing Captain Janeway besides Kate Mulgrew. That is wrong.
I feel like that is something, though, that we would have to make peace with. I feel like with any kind of show like this, whenever you are revitalizing an old story in an animated medium that's based off of something that happened, you know, like, it, like, look at Star Trek, the animated series, you know, like, that is a very rare occurrence of people coming back. A lot of people coming back.
Yes. For very little money.
If you look at other circumstances where, you know, like, animated shows have been based off of, you know, big movies or continuations of TV shows, I think you either will get some back or none at all. And I think you, as an audience member, you kind of need to make that piece.
We might have to, if it ends up being the case. I mean, of course, the wish list demands that they are all there.
Regardless of that, whether the voice actors come back or not, I think we could, I think we can move forward with some feeling and some story aspects.
Okay. Yeah, let's talk about some things we can explore. We already mentioned Species 8472. Which would be completely freaking awesome. But what are some other things about Voyager in a supplemental fashion that we could explore in depth, and especially to the advantage of an animated series?
Well, I think with something like that, you could just show, like, if you wanted to show action-oriented stuff, you could just make a snippet of it. Like, you could be thrown in the middle of a battle, and, like, you could make it the most intense 15-minute battle you've ever seen.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of times in Voyager where we got thrown in the middle of something, or we were shown everybody like already on a mission or already on a planet? What if some of these episodes would show the exciting stuff that wasn't necessarily on screen to begin with, that was just implied in Voyager?
Sure, sure. Maybe things like, even though we saw a lot of them, epic Borg battles, get into even more detail, show even more badass ships and things of that nature, maybe.
Yeah, and I think you could get, like, if, like, one thing I really liked about Voyager was first contact. You know, like, how many times they made first contact, but sometimes you got, I mean, like, I think Voyager less so than the rest of the series, but sometimes you would get a little forehead of the week, and...
Oh, yeah.
You know, just like every Star Trek show, that's just how it is. And we'll get that with Star Trek Discovery. That's just how it is. but I feel like with this show, we could do even crazier first contact stories. Because
Absolutely.
Think about it. In Voyager, in the Delta Quadrant, they're going to meet, every species they meet has never been met before. So let's get some crazy ones in the vein of Species 8472.
Totally. And you know, one thing that kind of bothers me just about Star Trek in general is just about all of the alien species we come across are humanoid, they breathe oxygen, they're a lot like us. What if we explore life that's really not like us hardly at all? What if it runs on completely different elements, breathes completely different atmosphere, is going to be a lot more difficult maybe to deal with? I think that could make some great stories.
Yeah, I think messing with environments that are not hospitable to humans would be a lot of fun, where things that are limited by live-action television, where we could do more underwater stories, or we could do stories where they have to be in environmental suits, or you know, like
just
things of that nature, where maybe there's more episodes. Like, very rarely did we see episodes that took place in space, you know, like in suits and... I think we saw a little bit more of that in Enterprise. I'm thinking of a few episodes where they're like on a comet and stuff like that. So
yeah,
we could do more stuff like that in Voyager that we never really got.
Yeah, I think they did a lot more of that on Enterprise just because CGI got cheaper.
Yes.
And with animation, it would be a lot of fun to see maybe a couple of spacewalks or like when they went to the demon planet, having to be in spacesuits.
I was thinking that too, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, you can do all sorts of creepy things like that. Sort of like how they did with the silver people?
The silver blood.
The silver blood, thank you.
What if we showed like episode 1.5, where we show an episode between Demon and between, what's the name of that? Course Oblivion.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and show the contrast between the silver blood people and the quote-unquote real Voyager crew.
Well, I was thinking like the genesis of the Silverblood people where we see them come about, like where we see the ship get made, where it's all happening on this planet where all of a sudden they gain sentience and they start to have these memories that don't belong to them. They decide to go out. They decide to go and journey out. And but we show them... forget along the way that they're copies. And so we show all of that. Like, that's the kind of thing that I was talking about before, where
Oh, yeah, that would be so creepy, wouldn't it? Because we would know. They wouldn't know. Mm-hmm. How freaking weird is this going to be? And are we going to keep following these guys? What's happening with the other quote-unquote real crew? What's going to happen here?
Yeah. I think those are the type of stories that would be a lot of fun.
Absolutely. Oh, that's a great example right there. Now, in terms of the writing, with it being an animated series, do you suppose, and this is a stereotype, are they going to inject more humor into it?
You know, I don't think so. I think if this actually did happen, the answer would be yes. I think they would inject more humor into it. I don't think it would be very good humor. I think you would hear a lot of music cues at the end where it's like, you know, like
kind of that stereotypical yes, that's kind of where my mind went as well. I thought that's not necessarily a bad thing.
I think it's a bad thing
either way, though. It could be super dramatic, but I don't know, I always enjoyed the more lighthearted side of things, and so Voyager would be a great candidate to make even more lighthearted, because it was probably one of the more lighthearted of the Star Trek series as it was.
I think it would be interesting. I'm going in the opposite direction, where I think it would be more fun to be an action-oriented series, because like if you got action-oriented with Deep Space Nine, you would get all philosophical and like war is hell kind of mentality. And with Voyager,
right, like
I feel like with Voyager, you could be action-oriented, but then be lighthearted at the same time, where it's thrilling, it's engaging, but then, oh, they're back in the mess hall all enjoying some pizza. You know, that kind of, I don't think you can do that with Deep Space Nine.
Right, yeah, no, you, as long as we have pizza, I'm in.
Yeah, I knew that would win you over.
What can I say? Simple pleasures. Yeah.
So that's how I kind of see it.
We really needed to see that. Just in general, we really needed to see Tommy with a pizza at some point. So if we're going to animate it, we're going to see a hot steaming pizza in the mess hall. No doubt.
We're also going to see a whole lot more Captain Proton.
I'm thinking at least a whole episode completely immersing in Captain Proton animated.
Yeah, and it doesn't even have to be a story that's outside of the holodeck where like Voyager's in danger or anything like that. It is since it's a web series animated show, it's just, you know, Tommy goes, okay, hey, talk to you later, B'Elanna. I'm going to go to the holodeck with Harry. And he's like, okay. And then it's about that adventure.
Yeah.
Inside the holodeck.
Just and then purely.
When they're done and they go back to their quarters. That's it. No one's in danger. No one's going to die. It's just them enjoying the holodeck.
Yep. Just an adventure and it's a good time. Loved it. Yes, that's exactly what we want of the web series that Garrett Wong and Robbie McNeil say that they want to do, but we need to make happen desperately somehow. Because wouldn't that be great?
It would be so great. Like right now, we're just kind of like fangirling out and fanboying out of just saying like, then they could do this and then this would be fun and then
yeah,
just like
it's
an episode
true. That
72.
Is what we're doing. Oh well,
yeah. It was hardcore what we're doing.
That's all right, that's what you're getting this week on To the Journey. And you're to quote a former president, you're either with us or against us.
Now would you, I guess you couldn't, because if we're going in parallel continuity where it's the stories in between the episodes, we couldn't really introduce a new character. Actually, no, I guess we could. We could introduce like a crewman or something.
I think you could. There's 150-ish people on this ship and we did not get to know all of them.
You're right. You're right. We could do something
so, like that. So we can introduce some alien looks, some different foreheads even if we really just want to keep it subtle.
We could learn more about the security crew. Like we could get more in depth with Tuvok's security crew. We could learn more about the engineering team. You know, like everybody, like that's the thing. Because you're a bridge officer, you have your own team. People report to you because you're a bridge officer. We never really explore that too much in Star Trek. I always thought that was really weird.
You could even have another whole Lower Decks type of episode where it's all about the junior officers. People we don't even really know. Or better yet, maybe people we saw kind of lingering around in the mess hall, but we don't have their name, we don't know who they are, we don't know what they do on the ship. Let's get to know them. Let's let them have a little adventure on the ship, or at least endure an adventure through their eyes. Because we always see the bridge crew. Well, let's see what it's like when you don't know what's going on the bridge.
We have an episode where Ayala is the hero or something like that.
That would be amazing. That would be fantastic. Yes. Let's let Ayala be the hero just this once.
Yeah, we start hearing and seeing all those names that we heard in the show but didn't really get that much exposure with.
Totally, totally. And I always thought with 150 or so people on that ship that we would get to know a lot of side characters. We really didn't. So here's an opportunity.
That was a huge missed opportunity in Voyager to learn more about the Lower Deck crews.
Yeah, it was, especially like with DS9 as the example of showing such a great, massive set of characters working on all the cylinders, even like minor characters getting story arcs here and there. Mm-hmm. Voyager really had the opportunity to do the same, and we really could have embraced the whole concept of family even more so, because with a family would be bigger, right? So,
and if we could get a really great Lower Decks episode in TNG where there's 1,000 people on one ship, I think we can do it with 150.
You would think. We've got 7 years, 150 people. We could at least get to know 3/4 of them.
And And I know, and that's the thing is that, like, I know people will say, oh, well, you had Good Shepherd and you had, and you had learning curve. And so people will cite those as examples, but we never saw those people again. And
right. And we never saw the Equinox crew again either. They just sort of disappeared into the bowels of the ship, I guess.
Yeah. They really missed an opportunity of having returning characters.
Yeah, absolutely. Plus, I want to know what happened with the Equinox characters. Let's animate them.
Yeah, that's a great one. Like, let's have Equinox Part 3.
Right, even 2.5, yeah.
Yeah, where we show what it's like for the Equinox crew to integrate into Voyager.
Right, because that could have not been an easy task.
Because that would be a really interesting dissection of what it's like, because now, I know it was only a handful of people, but you could follow these people for a little bit where, like, at the beginning of the show, it was Starfleet and Maquis. How are they going to interact? These two people against each other. Then you have the Equinox crew. They don't belong anywhere. They don't belong in Starfleet anymore. They're ripped of rank. They don't belong in Maquis because they're not freedom fighters. And so they are Equinox crew.
Right. And they no longer have the Equinox. Plus, you have the added outcast thing of, like, they did some awful things and everybody knows it.
Right.
So how does the integrated Voyager crew treat them?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Are they treated like second-class citizens? Are they welcomed with open arms? Somewhere in between? That could be interesting.
For some reason, something just popped in my head, and it's Neelix traveling through time. I don't know why.
Neelix's time travel adventure!
Yes, basically that. Like, it's, I don't know why. It's, it's just like one episode, it's Neelix just cannot figure out what time zone he's in. So he's just like, what on earth is going on? It's kind of like a mixture of Shattered and the episode where Kes is jumping time and again.
Before and after?
Oh, before and after. Crap. Yeah, before and after, yeah.
Yeah, time and again is with, like, the candy corn people.
Oh, God, that's right. These titles all mixed together.
Voyager titles in general are not fantastic.
It's a mixture of Before and After and Shattered. And it might be repeating yourself, but I don't know. It just, for some reason, I would love to see the shenanigans that Neelix would get into with time-traveling Neelix.
You could have a really comedic episode with Neelix trying to figure something like this out just because it's Neelix. And if written appropriately, it could be a really fun, lighthearted romp that could be incredibly creative. And then you can throw in some really crazy stuff via animation that you would not otherwise get on the show. Whatever those things are, I don't know. We could hash this out, actually, in maybe a writer's room episode, maybe in the future. But there's a lot of possibility. There's a lot of potential, is what I'm saying, with just an episode like that.
Now, what about something like this? A Neelix version of Non Sequitur, where we finally get to see Neelix on Earth. And no one knows how the hell he got there. And he doesn't know anything about Earth customs. Maybe this is early Neelix, okay? So, like, he's on Earth. The Starfleet is like, who the hell are you? Where are you from? And it's this very fish out of water story. And we finally get to see what it was like for Neelix to get on Earth. Because we know now that's never going to happen.
Oh, you're blowing my mind. Now, see, that is such a good idea right there. Even though you're ripping off Non Sequitur, that actually, I think, would make a better idea than the episode you're pulling it from, because it's Neelix and nobody on Earth has seen a Talaxian. They don't know what a Talaxian is. What in the world are you doing here, buddy?
Yeah.
And he doesn't even know? I mean, wow. Is this the amnesia aliens or what?
Yeah.
Crazy. You know, another thing we did not see that would be kind of fun is to do the kind of an opposite thing of... Well, he's not necessarily going forward in time, but maybe going back in time, and he's telling Naomi a story about being on Talax, because you could have Talaxians everywhere.
That's such a good idea.
Yeah, and with animation, that's no sweat. In real life, that is a lot of freaking costumes and makeup, and absolutely not. Even a Star Trek budget can't handle that. But that could be a lot of fun, too, because we have some backstory on what happened on Talax, and we know that Neelix's family is basically all but gone, but maybe he's remembering some good times and a very different world, and we could see what it is exactly that he left behind.
What if we eat, like, I love that idea. Let's keep it. Basically, we're just pitching each other writer's room ideas for the show.
You know, this is kind of just what we do. We enjoy our writing. We really do.
So what if we took your idea and just a little bit further, where what if we did a mythology episode where each person is telling a story, where Neelix is telling a story about the, what's it called? The tree, the ancestor tree, or whatever that thing is called.
The tree in the great forest.
The tree in the great forest. What he's talking about, the genesis of the great forest and how the tree came about. And maybe Chakotay is talking about his ancestors.
Okay, so you're molding 1159 and pathways.
No. I'm taking it to focus on the word mythology here, where people are telling stories, myths of their people. And we get to see that animated in a fantastical fashion.
Now see, that would be really cool, because then again, you're maybe tapping into things like gods and goddesses of the ancient world.
Just imagine Tuvok telling that story about the gods and goddesses of Vulcan culture.
Right, the teachings of Surak.
Yeah, the teachings of Surak and things like that. So maybe that could be another Ancestors Day episode, where they don't just talk about their own history, but they talk about the history of their people and what they believed in.
Oh, that would be really cool, too. And that could also answer some questions about how old some races are, like Talaxians. We really don't know how long they've kind of been around.
Char, what? I just had a great idea. I need to calm myself down. I need some ice. I need some ice.
Okay. Rest your head. Okay. Easy. In and out.
Seven of Nine tells everyone the true story of the genesis of the Borg.
Oh! Okay. I'm fanning myself right now.
I can't breathe.
Woo!
I can't breathe.
That's a big one.
I'm coming, Elizabeth. I'm coming. This is it. This is the big one.
Oh, my God. Whoa, now would that not be a mind blower? Here's the challenge as the writer of that episode is you've got a big idea. You have a lot of people wondering what the answer is to that ginormous question. You're going to have a lot of hype. That's a lot of pressure. What do you do?
Hey, you know what, Char? You know what I think we can do, or what they can do?
What?
They can tune in next week to find out, because until then, this has been To the Journey.
Seriously? You're going to do this to us?
To the journey!
To the journey!